Thanks for tuning in to the Prime Nostalgia, the podcast dedicated to entertainment from childhood. That's 80s, 90s, the latest 2000s. Cause Prime know it all, and Lee Boy be wild, and he's from all that. Dropping gems for you to find, so that's orange, the light is line. Prime time is all the time. We talking about the classics, and there's so many. That's Lee Boy TV and PRIME. Ow.
It's me, the LEEBOY TV. I'm back. I'm always here. I'm never coming back because I'm always here. You know what I'm saying? Co-host, something like, you know, the leading man. You know what I'm saying? If I must say so myself. Prime, you got something to say about that? I know you started the whole thing. I know you're the creator, but, you know, I'm excited about what's going on today, baby. I'm excited. What's up?
Okay. I'll just say it's me, PRIME. I'm going to keep it short because we got a special guest, so we want to get some guests.
You are exactly right. We definitely have a special guest today, someone that I would consider a savant, a triple threat. I'm telling you, she got so much talent under her belt and in her little pinky toe. Well, this is the finger, but yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But yes, the one and only, the legend, Allison Stoner. Say what's up to the Prime Nostalgia Podcast, please.
Thank you so much for having me. I have not had an intro like that in years. So
hey, that's what we do, you know?
Last time I heard that was maybe from my own father.
Hey, you are a savant, really, though. Like, you know, I listened to your interviews, and we've been privy to be around you, quote unquote, since you were so young, and just seeing how you progressed and the head you got on them shoulders. It's a reason why we wanted to have you today, because you have so much knowledge to give off and provide to the nostalgic audience that we have here that loves you. So thank you for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to getting into whatever we discuss.
Oh, we're going to have some fun. I mean, Prime, should we start it off where we all remember Allison from, where it all started for us? Is it Missy? I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. You know what the skin tone I'm working with right now. We had Missy Ella. We was watching the Missy video back to back. Can you work it? Oh, she was talking about some crazy stuff. What was you doing in that, Allison? What was you doing in that video? When you listen back to it now, you like, ooh, Missy knew how to hide the freak in her, Lord.
Yes. But, yeah, for sure. Allison. So I didn't know, obviously, what the music was referring to. And also, I'm from Toledo, Ohio, a very small town in Toledo. And my sisters knew Missy, and they loved her music. They're older than me. And so they said, you have to go on this audition. And I think all of us had different activities that day. It was like a basketball practice or a gymnastics tournament, and something got canceled. So we had a chance to go to this cattle call, as they call them. There were like 800 kids, all sizes, all ages, all everythings. And we learned some choreography, and then they did a round of cuts. And frankly, I feel like my teachers growing up were so skillful in teaching us how to come across professionally whenever we showed up anywhere. And a lot of kids in there were just like normal kids who thought it would be cool to go. So it really separated people who had, you know, trained experience from those who didn't right away. And I was really fortunate. They gave me a chance to be in the video. And when I showed up, that's when we were like, okay,
this is for real, yeah.
Something is happening here, because I am the only white person and I am wearing something different than everyone else. What point are you trying to make?
Right. You always had like the Adidas tracksuit or like the jean out, the jean jacket, like, hey.
Yeah. So credit always goes back to Missy, to Hi-Hat, to her whole creative team. Dave Myers directed the videos. I don't know what they had in mind, but what it became was so special, and it changed my life forever, you know? And it introduced me to musicians, to culture, to movements that I might not have encountered at that age in that way. And, you know, some of my mentors, the people who have shaped me the most, I met because of those experiences. So, you know, I'm forever grateful to Missy, and it's incredible to see the impact she's had on music like even to this day, I hear some of these beats that people are coming up with, like pop radio top 40, and I'm like, this is Missy circa like 2002.
No, when she really, and it's awesome because you were a part of that time when she really was changing the entire landscape of music, especially the music videos. I mean, from the very beginning when she came out with the I Can't Stand and she had that trash bag. I mean, I was already I was already kicking, doing all that. But yeah, so it's just so great that you were a part of that experience. And my question would be to you is like, how fulfilling was that you just got that you were called back so many times? And then obviously you've had your own tribute video to her, and these things are so well received. Like, how fulfilling was that to know that you were like a part of that family?
Absolutely. It's really, I think, unique when something can have that positive of an effect and not have too much hate around it. Mm-hmm. Like there was a lot of room for that to be very problematic. And there is a lot of room for people to critique it with a lot of valid points. And still somehow that moment seems to overall be a positive memory for a lot of people, including myself. So I'm thankful that whenever the songs come on, it doesn't feel like, you know, something I'm embarrassed to say, oh, I did that forever ago, let it go. I feel gratitude, and I feel so honored to have been affiliated with an artist like Missy. Like, really, she doesn't pay me to say this. Like, this is from a genuine place of admiration and respect. And I continue to appreciate her more and more as I get older, and I understand the systems of the industry and the politics, and also being innovative and thinking, you know, ahead of what's going to happen sonically down the road. And she's a mastermind in all regards. So yeah, I'm truly grateful. And the fact that, you know, she brought me back, or her team brought me back for her Vanguard performance is...
I mean, you killed it. I mean, and you was on the look back at it early. You know that when you look back, y'all got to make sure you rewind back, because she was looking back. You guys go look back at it. Yeah, too much. Prime. You know, you got something about Missy, because I was going to move on, because she's worked with some other legendary artists. I know the look back at it was bad, but she was, I'm telling you, y'all go check.
No, but to your point, I did want to throw in a mix of old choreography with a little bit of like, hey, I am an adult now, and this is fun, and this is not the point, but like, we can move in different ways these days. But side note, I had not been training for a while before that. So I was like in the gym the night before, because I didn't know I was doing it either. I got the call like 2 days before. Wow. I just happened to be in town. So I was like, nah, I got to stretch. Like, my back doesn't do what it used to do. Like, can I do this anymore? So I'm glad adrenaline kicked in. But Prime, I'll throw it to you.
I will say though, I personally was happy to see like, to see you up there dancing when you came out there, everybody was in the crowd was hyping you, and you could hear them in the audio. Was like, yeah, I like that part. I was like, okay, I see. The whole thing was just nice.
Credit to you, because like you said, you got the call right before, but still being in dancing shape, because she was out there break dancing. She hit a couple little drops, stop, drop, and roll. She, you know, we're going to talk about some dance names in a little bit, because Allison, she's a really trained dancer, and she's going to, we're going to test her knowledge today. Maybe.
Oh, just, no.
You guys stay tuned for that.
Just a quick thing. Have you seen, this is like a meme when it first happened. Have you seen the people that took your thing, but then they took the audio out, and you just hear like the feet squeaking? Yeah. I don't know why. It's just stuff like that. It's just funny when they take the audio out.
I think I accidentally caused that, because I was on the flight back from the performance, and I knew like, okay, in the name of viral moments, you have to get some post up if people are searching for you. And so I wanted to be the holder of that asset online so that people would share it from that account. and I accidentally clicked post without sound. And I'm like, pretty sure, yeah.
They're the like, edit guys were like, yes.
Yeah. So, but, you know, it's funny. Like, you have to have a sense of humor. You know, you can't take yourself too seriously. The internet will only feed off of that. So.
Oh, the internet's gonna internet for sure.
Yes.
But in addition, and unless there's anything about Missy, your dance skills also You got one more.
Well, we have one more because, you know, we actually have a fan question about Missy.
Right. Fan question. Okay. We got
Allison from Past Foot Forward said, "Do you have any cool Missy stories to share?"
Ooh. So something I really love about Missy is that she's had some of the same people in her core team through all these years. So the 20 years that I've been around them, you have the same, you know, managers, you have the same costume designers, you've got the same creative directors. And I feel like that's such a testimony to just the loyalty, the family that they have, that they've evolved through eras together. And also, I think what was special is when I returned for the VMAs, it was the first time that I was either her height or now taller than her. The last time I saw her, I was, you know, a wee little baby. So that was kind of fun to have that moment where, you know, I got to hug her and almost feel like, oh, like this, I'm taller than you now. How did that happen? But yeah, I think, you know, those two stand out. And then this is a story from the Gossip Folks set. It's actually with Luda. So my grandma, who, just think of, you know, an old white grandma who is in a bowling league.
Okay.
So she's on set. And this set is Missy, Luda, Tweet, Trina, the whole, you know, group of dancers. So my grandma is not familiar. However, my grandma needs to get from the trailer to set. And so Luda comes around in his Cadillac golf cart and gave my grandma a ride to set. My grandma goes back to her bowling league in Ohio and is trying to explain what happened on the set of a hip hop music video. And to this day, she would say, and Ridiculous gave me a ride. And they're like, yes. His name is Ludacris, not Ridiculous, Grandma.
Hey, so. That's not a bad description of Ludacris, though. He is somewhat ridiculous sometimes, especially in those fast movies. But love Luda, love Luda.
Yeah, sure. he was wonderful. Everyone was great. And I just actually, Eve, I think, was on that set too, and I just got to do her podcast recently. So full circle.
Oh, dope. Yeah, and yeah, of your videos, I will say I like I'm Really Hot.
Oh, really?
It's right before the awesome breakdown. You know, they do the jazz breakdown in that one, and you're like, and I'm killing them. That was Allison right there. So yeah, that was my favorite of your performances. But you were great in all of them. Gossip Folks, you had the dress on and all that, right? Yeah. There was a lot of stuff going on. yeah, man. Great times. What happened to music videos? But I digress. Just tell us about some great places that dance has taken you.
It's funny, I haven't really spoken about dance for quite some time. So professionally, getting to work with Eminem and Will and Will Smith. I'm not on a first name basis with him. I don't know why I said that. And Outkast, that was a huge moment. We did Kids' Choice Awards and they brought some young people in, obviously. And I think I wouldn't have gotten the chances that I did had I not been in Missy's videos. And I really feel like the artists, I've only had positive experiences. It might have been just because I was young and having a kid on set. I think something I appreciated looking back is that they tried to make a safe and comfortable and age-appropriate environment, even though they knew the other parts of the videos and the other parts of the songs were, you know, more explicit and more mature. We always felt like they were looking after us. You know, we had to follow the same protocol, go to school, then go to set. And And I don't know, that's just, that means something to me, human to human, because you think about artistry and music, and you just think like everyone is buck wild 100% of the time. And really, like, you know, Eminem has a daughter. I don't know how old Haley is now. She can probably drive, or maybe she's, I don't know, maybe she's 21. I don't know. But, you know, but like, you got to see those facets of the artists. And I don't know, that seems special and worth noting to me. Because we always think about like, oh, they're such interesting creatures, and they're in their creative lab all day long. And it's like, no, actually, they were just asking me if I needed a banana or a snack to make sure I was well fed before going on camera.
All around good guys. That's great to hear. Thank you for sharing that. Because, yeah, man, you've done some great things in, you know, in the dance space, but also you have your own music career that has been amazing. It seems like, well, on the outside looking in, I've seen you drop some albums, and I love a couple of your videos. In fact, you have one that particularly sticks out to me. But how long have you been doing music? It seems like your entire career.
So I started writing music before really anything else. The second that I knew how to spell my name, I was writing lyrical poetry, you know, putting melody to words. And I didn't think that I had a voice to accompany the, you know, the poetry. So I just left them in a folder until I booked a job where I had to learn how to sing. And then I started thinking, oh, maybe I can share this on a more professional level. And, you know, I've worked on musical projects, like Camp Rock had us all sing a couple of lines here and there. But it wasn't until I started collaborating with YouTubers and digital creators who, you know, found their niche in covering popular songs or whatever, that I gave it a, you know, a stronger shot. And honestly, I think music is one of the hardest industries that I've been involved in. And I set it aside for many reasons. Ultimately, it didn't feel like the best way for me to contribute my strengths to the world. However, the process of making music and the development that takes place in the studio and on stage, I think is really transformative. Like you have to, when you just think about singing and the vulnerability of it being associated with your breath and your voice, the power of using your voice to communicate, you have to face so many fears and anxieties in order to stay centered enough to deliver that message. And music was really challenging for me because I would get so panicky before performing. Whereas with dance, like, you can let that adrenaline hit your muscles and you can hit even harder. With music, like, you have to have some kind of control yet freedom simultaneously, and you've got to be willing to like let your voice wobble and crack and recover after imperfections. And I don't know, it was really challenging, but it shaped me as a human. And sometimes I wonder if I'll return to it again later, but for now I kind of set it aside. But yeah, the songs themselves are still, you know, forever streamable. Like,
they are out there. I mean, once they're out there, they're out there. And, you know, I definitely could see that you were expressing yourself through your music. I would encourage everyone to check out Strip Bare. I think it really tells a story about your transformation from being a child star to, you know, being a young woman that wants to take control of their narrative and do what you want to do. I mean, whatever it is that you want to do. And I think that's an important message for everyone to, you know, take into their lives, however their paths, wherever their paths take them. But definitely you were speaking some hard truths there. Like, was it difficult for you to be so vulnerable at that time in your music career? Is that because I'll just say, like, you have the talent to do whatever you want to do in music, right? And so it's a conscious decision to put out a message that can be received from by humans that are looking to be uplifted by your music or your message. So what was it like just being that vulnerable at that time? And what were the emotions that were attached to that time in your life?
Yeah, the story behind Stripped Bare is way
too
tougher.
Deep? Don't take it too crazy.
I know. I'll give you the surface level version is that I discovered at some point that I had been taken advantage of in ways that I didn't even know until later in life. And it involved finances, it involved team dynamics. And so once all of that came to light, I happened to be on my first tour at the time. And I was self-funding, right? Like as an artist, people say, oh, you came from Missy, you came from Camp Rock, you probably had everything paid for. No, I was paying my way plus the movers who came with me, I'm paying for them too. And we all got to eat and rehearse and get the tracks ready and all of that. And so it was out of pocket. And I learned that the money I thought I had to fund that new chapter actually wasn't there. And it was such a low moment because it felt like, a little bit like I had been betrayed by people I trusted. But then it also was like, what am I doing? Like I put myself way out on a limb. I took a risk and it's right now it feels like it's backfiring. And like, how long am I willing to throw myself out there into this art scene and like, wear my heart on my sleeve and my health is all over the place. Like maybe I'm sacrificing a little too much. So I just started asking really deep questions and I recognized like, okay, the way I've been doing this is not the best way to approach this in the future. I need to regroup. And for now, I just feel like I'm truly stripped bare. I'm at my ground zero. And the song says like stripped bare, got nothing left. And I was like, I really have nothing left in that account. I thought I did. but in those moments, it's also, a launching pad for something new, completely new to be born. And so I'm thankful for that time. It was not easy, but that's a little bit more behind the song. And, I ended up shaving my head in the video, not just because I wanted to be, like rebellious or because I wanted to make some huge statement, but more so for myself as a time capsule. I knew, okay, this mentality existed with this appearance. And after I shave my head, every time I look in the mirror, it's a reminder, you're gonna approach things differently. You're gonna see yourself and the world and other people differently. You gotta like learn how to be a little bit tougher and a little bit more resilient and so now hair's grown back a bit.
I love the short hair look. I love all the looks on Allison, but there's one particular picture you had some silver joint on. You was like, you must have been at an award show or something. I'm like, oh, she out here fierce. All right, Allison, but watch out now.
That's super. I always want to shave my head. Always.
Oh man. Go ahead, Brian. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, since you just told that story, we don't have a question, we have a comment. So okay. I just want to read this to you. This is from No More Late Fees, it's a podcast. And they say they had some questions, but they didn't want to ask you because they said honestly this will probably mean more to them. They said you've been so vocal about people in the industry and how they can be. And honestly, we just want to thank you for being vocal. That takes a lot of bravery and courage. So they just want to say thank you.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you. That means a lot. It means a lot.
People have noticed. And I want to say we're going to go to break soon. We're going to go to break soon and we're going to come back with definitely. I know everybody's been waiting for some Disney Channel stuff. I promise we're going to talk about it. Then we're also going to catch up with what Allison has going on now. But when you were telling that story, I was actually had the same thought, is that it's very it's a great thing that you were able to document it at that time, like you said, encapsulated during that time. And it's a representation for everybody. It's an example for everyone that they can take back the power in their life. So thank you so much, Allison, for what you have done for people outside of entertainment You know, just putting yourself out there, being so vulnerable means a lot to a lot of us. And, but, you know, before we go, you know, too deep into this thing, because Allison got us all shook. I knew you was going to do this, Allison. Almost a tear dropped around here. We're going to go to break, but we need to hear some music, right? So Allison, please recommend a song. Any song, could be one of your own. It could be one of the Missy joints. I'm really look. Hey, but any song, please, DJ.
Something that I'm affiliated with, or
sure, anything.
We'd love
anything that you want our fans to listen to during the break.
Okay, this is one of my favorite tracks to warm up to when I'm moving. Soweto, Soweto, and I'll get you the artist name. It's a little bit of a house groove track, so you know it'll feel good.
Hey, we're gonna keep it rocking right into the second half. Y'all stay with us, and definitely stay with Allison. All right, we'll be right back.
Look, people, we are back. We are here. It's me, Prime, it's Lee Boy, and we got our special guest Allison Stoner in the building. She just did a segment that y'all gonna see later on. She
know her dance stuff. She know her stuff. You know, from ballet all the way to reggae. No, that's not a dance. but it's not. But yeah, she knows it all. And so definitely check out that segment. But Brian, what we got going coming out of the break, man? I know people are ready to hear about this next segment for sure.
Well, I have this one question from Planet Weird Podcast. And they say, do you remember the Three Musketeers song from the Super Short Show?
Yes. Mickey, Donald Duck, and Goofy star in this new movie, now on DVD, and I've already seen it. Hey, if it's so new, how did you get to see it, bro? Hey, I have my own show, that much I know. There you go.
There you go. Hey.
Juan and Sarah, that's for you.
Memory recall. That is forever pumped into my cells.
Oh, Lord. The things that stick with us forever, right?
Yes.
Well, Allison has, you know, done a lot of things. Obviously, it's like I said, she has multiple careers. Disney Channel is another one of her careers. I personally, I think I first saw you and Zach and Cody, and then I had to go back, obviously, seeing the Missy things. But, you know, she was a Max from Zach and Cody. And I felt like she kind of brought the hip-hop aspect a little bit, because they did have an episode where she dances.
Yeah.
She had a showcase. So if you want, can you just tell some of your stories on set, or just like stories about maybe people recognizing you? Zach and Cody, man. Or anything.
That was so long ago. I believe I had my first kiss on Zach and Cody. So I had
them Sprouse boys. I heard about this. That was going to be my question. I heard it was them twins. One of them kissed you, right?
No, I think if I remember correctly, I don't know if they kept it in the episode, but I think I had to kiss both of them.
It was Dylan, because they were like in a basketball team, and he was like, yeah, and he kissed her, and she was like,
right,
yeah, something like that. I vividly remember that, but yes, I do remember.
Was it Dylan? Because in real life, I know I had a crush on Cole, and we had a little, you know, mini youthful romance for a half of a second.
Could have been.
So I can't remember. Know it was a push. Sorry. Yeah, what was on camera, and you know what was in real life. But
I just said I think it was Dylan because it was during a basketball game, and you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. It was so long ago. I also loved working with Ashley and Brenda, and wow, the wild thing is, I believe I'm the longest employed actor for Disney Channel, because I'm still on new shows of theirs, just my voice for their animated projects. So I don't know, that's kind of a LeBron stat, but I think I deserve an award.
Yeah, no, I think so, because you've been there, you've been putting in the work.
Yes.
They have my soul.
How long did you play Isabella?
So long. I auditioned for Isabella. I was probably like 12 or 13. And then it's something like 8 or 9 years that we were recording and releasing new episodes. But then the creators of the show ended up having the next series, Milo Murphy's Law. I'm also on that one. And now they've done their other projects, and I'm on the next one that's coming out. I don't know if that's public information, but it's fun. I'm going to be playing a different kind of character than I've ever played before. I'll just say I'm usually the nice person, and now I get to show some different sides.
Okay.
Right. I mean, and as I've kind of alluded to, you know, I don't cheat too much on Nickelodeon. I watch some Disney Channel, just a little bit, you know what I'm saying?
Just
I'm also
a little cheat.
So, also an old guy, but I am familiar with what it's like to just grow up with other kids on set. And so did you see yourself, like, because obviously you came up in the dance circuits and through music and also coming out of Ohio, did you see this future for yourself, like growing up around other actors on set and being part of like this these famous families? And what was it like having that adjustment and like really being a part of, like, I mean, you jumped right in here on Disney and it's like you never really looked back.
So there are a lot of layers, right? Like, it's the only version of life I have known. So I don't know what it would have been like to fly back to Ohio, go to regular school. You know, I'd probably just be on as many sports teams as possible. Like, that was sort of the flow for my family, was like, put us on a field, put us on a court, put us on a stage, dance-wise. And so, you know, there's the beauty and the gift of the fact that I was lucky to start working really young and really soon after I started auditioning. And there's also that other side that was like, whoa, I didn't really take a break once I started going. You know, it took its toll on me socially. Like, I didn't have normal experiences with people my age, so I felt way more comfortable talking to adults or like being in professional mode. So now I think as I've gotten older, I'm like learning some basic social skills and basic normal human things kind of, you know, later than the average person maybe. But, you know, I'm grateful for the journey. It's what I know. And so it's kind of like whatever the cards you have and whatever choices you've made, like, now make it the best possible life you can from it. And I'm so fortunate, right? Like, on so many levels, the fact that I got to do something that I enjoyed, I got to learn from experts in the field, I got to participate on all of these huge projects. As a child, it was both a gift and then also it felt kind of like a pressure of like, oh, you like, how are you going to keep this momentum up forever? And are you going to become an A-lister? And, you know, I made different choices where I kind of wanted to take a break from that and just understand life outside of it. That felt even more important than booking the next thing. And I think from the outside looking in, people might go like, why did you throw that away? And, you know, we just have different firsthand experiences, and I've been on the inside. I've seen the highest of highs, and ironically, my life is probably the most normal it's ever been, and I would say it's the most fulfilling, healthy, satisfying, joyful, beautiful experience that I've had so far. So, you know, I definitely don't take for granted the normal everyday moments. To me, those are like the highlights, not the, you know, being on stage, which was kind of that was the norm for me as a kid, which is the weird part. So, like, you know, people would look at what I do every day and they'd be like, wow, you changed your ceiling fan. How boring. And I'm like, you'll never believe what I did today. I changed my ceiling fan.
Yeah. Yeah, man, and it is so important to take those breaks. I mean, and it seemed, you know, we seen how much work you were putting in on whether it's Zach and Cody, on Raven, she was over there, and on That's So Raven as well. You know, I feel very similar to you in that way, because I actually took a break several times from the industry when I was clown dancing and rapping and doing, you know, doing the normal, quote unquote, normal things to just have experiences. When you look at some people that were in a similar position as you, as I would say, and I would compare like a Britney Spears, Amanda Bynes, do you think, you know, that you're the way you took a break, the way that you approached, you know, your chase or your pursuit of stardom, do you think that if that was beneficial for you in comparison, and not to compare to them? We've seen what they've been going through lately. And so it's only natural for me to want to see the best for them. And so what are some of the things that you did to maybe avoid going off the quote unquote rails like that?
You know, I think it's so hard when we're on the outside and we see someone facing a bunch of different challenges, but we're not with them on the day to day. The whole atmosphere, the whole setup of the industry is a non-neutral place. So you're not ever just standing there waiting for your big break. There's always a bunch of forces and pressures coming at you in all directions. So it would be hard for anyone to ever have a chance to find their footing and to feel grounded and to take some time to recalibrate or to look inward or to heal. So while they're still amidst the chaos, right? So for me, stepping away was a chance to be able to get some roots in the ground. So I wasn't just swaying every direction all the time. And so I have a lot of empathy for my peers who haven't been afforded that chance for whatever reason in their career. Maybe they're just at their highest moment and their teams won't even let them quit, even if they want to. Or maybe they're scared of what happens if they let it all go because they've invested everything into it. And so whatever the reasons are, you know, I just want to be able to create tools and support systems, whether you're in the industry or not, to feel like, okay, I can manage whatever this day brings, and I can stay connected to, you know, my mind, my body, well-being, so that I'm not losing myself more and more every day, and I'm not, you know, becoming, I'm not adding to the suffering that I already have to endure just on a daily basis, being human, doing our thing. So it's complicated on the outside, because I think a lot of us want to be able to comment on someone else's life, and we truly have no idea the whole context of what they're experiencing, how they've been conditioned over many, many years. And so we have to, you know, show each other the human decency and give each other that basic dignity of, like, I bet you if we all had access to the right support and the da-da-da-da-da, we would all be, you know, able to fulfill our potential in a different way, right? So, like, just having some grace and some understanding for each other, for ourselves, and then also seeking whatever tools we can find, whatever we do have access to be able to make the most of our current situation. So, you know, I have a lot.
And you brought up a tool. I mean, I think, and that's how we originally got connected. Is you the toolkit that you're working on for Child Stars? And I wanted to ask you that question because I knew one that you would have an excellent answer to a question that a little bit loaded, but you know, you're the person that I think is a great representative for our movement, and I feel very connected to you and also to all the other child stars that have come up in the entertainment industry. And I think it is time for us to really get around each other and support each other, because we only hear about each other in times of peril, you know? And so I would love for us to build a community where we could support each other and make sure that we're on our best feet and always on the up and up. So, getting back to how we got connected, can you just tell the people a little bit about the toolkit that you've been working on for not only child stars, but also child entertainers currently in the business, and how you can contribute to a better experience in Hollywood in general?
Yeah, so I looked at this repeated pattern of young performers reaching a breaking point, burnout, or, you know, becoming what other people call a train wreck. And I started thinking, how can we interrupt that pattern? And what are the biggest needs? And then it became clear that performing has a unique set of experiences. For example, if a young person is portraying a character who's experiencing something really traumatizing, that young person's mind is not differentiating between fantasy and reality. So that young person is actually potentially being traumatized just by doing their job. And so what can we do to help them after they perform to maybe come out of that role, to recognize they're safe, they're not actually experiencing that, they're, you know, supported by their loved ones, even if that wasn't what just happened in the scene. And, you know, to create these tools that really meet actors and performers in their daily experiences and to help them regulate and find calm. You know, another thing with performing is everything's inconsistent. You're hired one day, you're fired the next, or you're just unemployed because everything's a short-term project. And then you're being rejected most of the time, so you start to think differently about yourself. So there are just a lot of vulnerabilities and inconsistencies. So you can provide tools that help people ground, help people manage anxiety around the unknown and the uncertainty, help people restore, you know, a healthy concept of who they are instead of internalizing all of those no's as if that means there's something wrong with them or that they're bad at what they do. So, you know, I'm creating these toolkits specifically for artists and creatives, but then also my company, Movement Genius, we create stress relief techniques that anyone can do, because at the end of the day, like, the pace of modern life and what we're all going through, we have to find ways to be able to reconnect, manage what we're feeling, process those overwhelming emotions, and, you know, recalibrate and move forward. Otherwise, we're going to get stuck in those stressful states. Or we're gonna feel like, man, life is just too much. I can't handle it anymore. So, you know, at the heart of it, the toolkits and the company and where my head is at right now, I really just wanna empower people with tools, especially tools that don't have to cost a lot of money, that don't require you to, you know, be in a certain situation. Like, anywhere you're at, if you only have your mind and body, how can you help yourself feel better right now? Like, that's the kind of empowerment I wanted growing up, because I was often in weird places at weird times, and you can't like take a full on meditation class, but like you're still struggling. So, you know, it's all about kind of meeting people where they are in the practical day to day experiences, and then saying like, how can you help yourself feel better in this moment? Short term, and then also set yourself up to be more resilient long term.
And was there a particular like experience that made you want to advocate for others in general? Because, you know, you talked about taking a break for your own mental well-being and, you know, and what that meant for the longevity of your career. But you also have this part of you that wants to help others so much. And I'm just wondering if there was something, maybe someone did something for you and, you know, you just want to continue on that legacy, or if there is a specific experience to say, hey, I want to make a change. And so no one else has to go through this.
Yeah, it was for sure a blend of things. So I did start therapy young. And when I realized that therapy is usually really expensive and hard to access competent therapists, and these tools feel like they're exclusive and they're reserved for only a narrow group of people. I definitely wanted to make these tools available, of course, in healthy, safe, sound ways. And then for me, my health journey, my health collapsed totally, not mentally, but physically. My body stopped working, and I needed to go to rehab in treatment. And that was something I chose willingly, right? Like a lot of people think of rehab as maybe being somewhere you go if you feel ashamed or you can't fix your problem because you're not strong enough. And for me, it was like, no, I absolutely need that kind of support, because currently I'm not able to recover on my own, but I know that after this, I will be able to, you know, change the course of my life. So there's, you know, no shame in asking for help and seeking help. It's just that help isn't always nearby, it seems. So I definitely wanted to make this known and spread the message so people understand, hey, there are resources right now that you can use that are free and that don't require anything other than you just following along. And I would love for that to be just more widely known in general, because you see the trends, like we're all recognizing the severity of the current state of the world and how things are moving, like the need for reform, the need to imagine new ways of operating. Like we've known that, but now we also see the toll that it's taking through generations. We understand that scientifically, therefore now we can invest more energy towards, you know, funding projects that help this. Like it's all very complicated, but I feel that my role in it is to, you know, spread the importance of well-being in an accessible, affordable, competent, relevant way. And then also, you know, collaborate with the experts who sometimes are behind closed doors in, you know, private sessions with their clients. How can we bring their wisdom and expertise into a more public space so we can elevate all of our understandings and you know, move forward collectively in a healthier way?
Yeah, and you said move forward. You talked about movement, and you talked about also having experts. And that's exactly what you provide on your platform, Movement Genius. I told everybody already, I'm currently on the free trial, but it's affordable enough that I might let it keep, you know, I might let it reoccur, you know what I'm saying? Because I do like that you can perform some of the activities at your desk, and you have you're very conscious of where people are in their lives, and hopefully it's something they can, and they're not too long. I think they're a great length of time. So you guys definitely check out Movement Genius, and I think Allison wants to give you guys a little gift right here on the Prime Nostalgia podcast. So let the people know what's up.
Yeah, so we'll give you a 60-day free access.
I signed up too early. Wait, hold up. I gotta find another email. Wait.
Yeah, and there are no strings attached, right? So we're not trying to like get your information, and of course if you like it and it's helpful, please stay. It's a real community of real humans. And like we said, it's stress relief techniques, relaxation tools, and then some guided movement classes that help reduce anxiety and stress. And you can sign on. We've got videos as short as 3 minutes. We've got classes as long as 40 minutes, I think. And we're always adding more. And we also do a bunch of live classes with the community. So you get to meet the instructors and, you know, ask questions. If you're like, hey, I'm dealing with this, how can I better support my body and my mind in this time? It's really, we're kind of like headspace for the body. So, you know, most of the time when we think about mental health, we focus only on what's going on in our heads. And the reality is your stress and the anxiety and even the trauma that you're experiencing or have experienced, it gets stored in your body. So the tools have to include your body. Otherwise, you're only, you know, helping yourself partially. So our techniques just make sure that they help your body feel calm as well. And it helps restore that sense of agency over your health. Instead of feeling like a victim in your own skin or feeling disconnected or stuck, you're like, okay, I actually know what to do. I can use that tool and, you know, then go on with my day in a much better way than, you know, before trying to just like suffer through it all the time.
And for our fans, do you have a special code that you want them to use? You just, you know, what's up?
Yeah, we'll do the code Prime, and then that'll be 60 days totally free. And if you go on and you see like, oh, I wish you had something for this, like let us know. Send us a note, because it goes directly to me or my co-founder, who's my sister, and we'll create the tools that you need, because we're, you know, we're in startup mode. It's not like some huge corporation. This is truly a like community effort. So we would love to have you come check it out.
Yes, we will definitely be giving out that code when the time comes. And I want to see y'all on it. I want y'all to let us know the reviews. You know, obviously let Allison know what y'all think, because yes, that's a good thing, especially, you know, we get
this. Oh, yeah, this, and tell them we sent you. Make sure
they put in the code. Yeah, you know,
show up to the live classes. I think she got one coming up this week or next week. I'm gonna be up in there, hopefully.
Yeah, don't. Now, as far as the classes,
as long as my kids don't. Yeah, as long as my kids ain't.
They can join.
Going crazy. Oh yeah, they can always. But go ahead, Brian.
As far as the classes are concerned. If people are like, you know, because I will say sometimes people maybe want you in there just because they know you've done it personally rather than maybe an instructor, which is no offense to an instructor. But what do you say to like those people that like maybe want you in particular because they know that you probably can help them with a certain thing?
Yeah, so a couple of things. First, I am on every live class, so you will come hang out with me, whether I'm teaching it or co-moderating. But then also, a lot of the instructors who are on the platform were my teachers. So if you like what I have to say, go straight to the source. They hold tons of certifications, degrees. They know what they're talking about. And they're also really warm, genuine humans. And so I'm grateful. Also, our instructors are all across the board in terms of identity markers like race, gender, sexuality, lived experiences, physical abilities and disabilities. So we have members who really have all kinds of embodiments, and that's really important to us. You don't have to have any experience or any background in movement. Like, this doesn't have to be a full-on yoga or dance experience. It can be as simple as staying seated and, you know, gently lifting one arm or leg or whatever is available to you and trying that technique. It's even simpler than that, actually. It's always honoring your body, what you need in that moment. So definitely give it a try. Like, really, you have nothing to lose and a lot to gain. If nothing else, you get a chance to understand your mind-body connection and figure out like what things might be helpful for you the next time you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed or anxious. So you might as well try it. It is free. Like,
free. Like, there's no excuse. You know, like, what I'm saying? Just put the timer for the free trial. If you're really that cheap, just put a timer on your phone, man. I mean, if that's what you got to do. But I promise you, if you try this thing, you're actually going to like it, because like she said, she's got all type of race, genders and abilities on there. You know, so you're very thoughtful in that way, and it's a much appreciated. I mean, the worldview that you take on is something to be admired. But people will say you're very namaste, you're very chill, you're just a great all-around person. But you know, before we get out of here, I will say, you know, you're ready to defend yourself. You ain't gonna take no mess now. And I seen what you said. I have to ask you about how you corrected 17 magazine, because I'm is this. When you look up Allison, you try to look up any dirt on Allison, it's just, oh, she got on 17 magazine on Twitter. What happened there, Allison? Just like, if you could just explain to me as a person on the outside looking in, you know, I just need
sure.
to
know. Yeah, I'm really lucky that I don't have too much dirt about me on the internet. I'm certainly a flawed human, but I have managed somehow to keep things pretty clean and pretty positive. But I remember 17 Magazine was, making some comment about maybe me being involved with Hannah Montana or something. I don't know. The information wasn't accurate, and it's important for me to let people know the facts.
See,
So,
look, that's what I told you. Look, she could be not mistake, but when you get them facts wrong, okay.
no. Like we can be strong and empathetic. You can be both. And I will be plenty firm when necessary. So I think I just corrected, the fiction, and I also kind of left a little cliffhanger because I said, if you really want the juice, since a lot of outlets are always trying to seek, what's the tea, what's this? I, left a little cliffhanger that was like, you should ask what happened on the set of Camp Rock. And it's become this mysterious cliffhanger because those of us who were there know so much took place
There were some people there, y'all. There's some people up
on the
there.
Camp Rock set. Like, that was a coming of age movie and a lot of come to Jesus moments for people. And there are a lot of us. We were all struggling in our own ways. Throw that into a little blender of like high school drama meets doing this all in the public eye, whatever. You've got some messes. Now, it wasn't totally negative, but a lot of people to this day are like, what happened? What happened? And I think what should happen is that all of us should get together and do a little round table and just lay things on the table and say, do you remember when that happened? What are your thoughts now, 10, 15, whatever, however many years later? And like, can we make amends? Can we move forward? Can we let go of some of that? What can we learn from it? Because there was a lot. There was a lot.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of talent on that set, and you guys were, like you said, the coming of age. You guys were right at that age where it's like so much to, I'll just, I don't want to get into the ins and outs of the sets and
I
and the
mean,
cast, but there's a lot to be fought for. You guys were fighting for your spots, and it was a wonderful thing. It's a Now you can look back at it as, hey, we were a great collection. So I would also love to see exactly what you're saying, a round table, a reunion where people could really hash things out and just get to the core of things as as friends. And so that would be awesome. But you're also part of a couple other collections of, I mean, the Step Up. You're part of Cheaper by the Dozen. What is it like? I mean, before we get out of here, like, it has to be great in your acting career, just being part of these different segments and casts and being known in these families. You got the Missy family. Just you're celebrate. Let's celebrate Allison right now. Clap it
Oh,
up for
thank
Allison, man.
you.
Thank you, Allison, for coming on. Like, if you don't
Of
get your flowers enough, we're here with a couple roses, a couple. Look at my money tree, man. It's falling apart, Lord. This is the only thing I got. I don't know how to keep up with these flowers and roses, but if I could, I would give them to you. I sent them right through the Zoom. And yeah, just tell us what it's like to be, to be you, man. You're great. She's a
Oh.
savant, everyone.
You are very, very kind. I haven't had anyone.
Yeah, I'm here to give the praises, man. That's
Yeah,
what we
I'm
do on
like,
the Prime Nostalgia. Shout out to the child, pound to the child stars, all right?
I've
First
been
off.
in like startup founder mode now, so I'm like not at all getting any kind of flattery. So thank you. That's super sweet. Honestly, it's kind of funny to me that somehow, for some reason, most of the jobs I booked ended up having sequels or trilogies or like becoming franchises. Like, that is a gift in that they still play, and occasionally I'll see a residual for 3 cents. But at the same time, like, I could not have predicted that. I didn't go into it knowing that that was going to happen, and I surely didn't feel like I had the power to decide that I wanted that. It just, that's how the cookie crumbled, and I am
But you helped bake those cookies. You baked those cookies. You did. Honestly, you're part of it.
You're really kind. The truth, what feels true for me is, like, mm-hmm. you have to acknowledge all of the fortunes, the factors that allowed me to even have the chance to do this. I mean, you have to acknowledge all the layers. And I'm only who I am because of every person who has taught me, every person who has shaped me, you know, like, so the credit always just, you know, if it comes towards me, it just goes through me and right back out to everyone, because it's a very interconnected experience. And also you have to acknowledge the real factors of, like, not only was I in the right place at the right time, but my family could afford to do it, and the state of the world, you know, loved to celebrate young little cute white kids doing things. Like, there are so many factors. So, like, you can't. It's all of it.
I told you she's gonna be humble, y'all. She's gonna be humble. If that's her job,
it's
that
real.
That ain't my job.
It's real, you know.
You're right. And we appreciate you for acknowledging your privileges, however they were, you know, whether it's you know, financial, whether it's time, you know, whether it's who you are as a person. But we know we always want to recognize that you still put in that work, because it can't nobody get out there and dance. You can't just get out there and pop lock like Allison. I dare you to try. I'm a challenger. We gonna battle, but don't you do it.
We did put in hours. That's one thing I can forever stand on.
Is some hours.
We logged some serious hours every day of my childhood.
I'm just gonna say,
we done with that.
It's my last thing is that you got to do what a lot of people maybe have wanted to do, dreamt about doing, and you were part of this. I don't know how many years, but you did a Disney Channel Games. I just want to know if you have a favorite game that you liked, or if you had anything that you maybe you want to see it come back. You have any, you know, talk about that for a little bit.
I want to host. If they come back, I for sure want to be the host. That was my peak because that was my, you know, like, the Ohio part of me of wanting to just play games, play sports, super competitive family meets the LA part of me on camera, you know, everything came together at the Disney Channel Games.
Yeah.
It was super fun. It was really good. It was a really great time. I wish they still did it. Yeah. And I would love to see them come back with it. But, you know, I was the kid who watched Nick Gass all the time. Mm-hmm. Like,
Real quick. Can you just say into the camera, Nickelodeon didn't have nothing like this? I just want you to say that, just so that he can hear you.
Oh, yeah, Nickelodeon didn't have anything like this.
Thank you.
Why would you say that?
I mean,
we had gas, right?
Going against each other. Like, yeah, come on, man.
Prime, you gotta pick a side, man. I thought you was on Nickelodeon side. Come on, man.
I'm on the nostalgia side. I play nostalgia.
You on the nostalgia side? All right. You know, this is real serious beef out here, man. You out here playing games, man. This is serious to me. All right.
I had to be the diplomat, right? Because I was, like, on all channels, you know?
You were on all of them.
You'll be like, which one do you like better? I'm like, well, my employment depends on me being supportive of both, so.
Well, today, but no, seriously, I love Disney Channel as well. I just probably, I don't know. I didn't even have cable the whole time. Not the whole time, but sometimes I didn't even watch all that, to be honest. I didn't even watch none of it. I was up there watching. You know what I was watching? Prime Boys in the Hood and all kind of stuff I wasn't supposed to be watching, for sure. but yeah, man, anything. I think we gotta give Allison her time. We much appreciate you coming on today, and it's been lovely. You know, the fans are going to be raving about this for years. You're our, I ain't going to, let me stop giving her so much praise.
Yeah, you can be the whole stay humble. Thank you. You're really kind. Keep
it humble, but we appreciate you. And thank you for just tell the people where to find you.
Yeah, you can follow me on everything at Allison Stoner, A-L-Y-S-O-N, Stoner. But also, if you feel like you want to check out Movement Genius, you can find us at Movement Genius. And definitely just drop a note. If you listen to this and something sticks out, I try to look at my messages here and there. And, you know, I do respond human to human. So would love to hear from you and... yeah, take care of yourself. You deserve it. You need it. We need you. We need you to feel good in your skin. And I'm wishing you well in whatever you're aspiring toward. Got a family of supporters here cheering you on. Woo, 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 woo.
Right. Allison is very, you know, you can reach out to her. She will respond back. She's very good with her fan base. When she can, look, let me not put out that message. Everybody gonna be like, I need my response. And if you want to hear, you know, more about her story, I would encourage you to listen to her on the Vulnerable podcast as well. I just watched it. It was a great experience over there as well. So shout out to them as well, that podcast. And you can find me at LeeBoyTV.com, at LeeBoyTV on all socials and also YouTube, and you know, just being silly out here, just being silly. So yeah, I know I was a little silly today. Like, you want to get that, you know, a little bit more serious of an interview, go to Vulnerable. But y'all was kicking it like old pals too. So yeah, she's just a good time. Allison is just a good time. What can we say?
You're kind. We'll have to take this from Zoom into real life at some point.
I mean, yeah, you can just follow me at KVNG Primetime. Follow the podcast, you know, Prime Nostalgia Pod. We're doing big things over there. And
yeah, big things.
Yeah, just from Allison, from Lee Boy, from me, I'm going to say Primetime is all the time. And we out.
Thanks for tuning in to the Prime Nostalgia, the podcast dedicated to entertainment from childhood. That's 80s, 90s, the latest 2000s. Cause Prime know it all, and Lee Boy be wild, and he's from all that. Dropping gems for you to find, so that's orange, that light is lime. Prime time is all the time. We talking about the classics, and there's so many. That's Lee Boy TV and PRIME. Out.